It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. Fact: Ohio has 90% of Pennsylvania's population, yet operates with only 52% of the state legislators. Our guest, Post-Gazette columnist Brian O'Neill, has been on a quest to reduce the Commonwealth's legislative body. He joins us now to talk about why he thinks Harrisburg needs to reduce its number of state lawmakers. Brian O'Neill, welcome back to Essential Pittsburgh.
Good to be here.
There are 22 reps who have a district, at least partly in Allegheny County, so we seem to be well represented here. Why have you concluded that we have too many state reps, not only in Allegheny County, but all across the state of Pennsylvania?
Well, we have more full-time state legislators than any state in the union. There's nobody really close. And if they were doing their jobs well, if this setup was working well, I might not feel this way. But they don't seem to be able to get budgets done on time. This is not the first time this has occurred. This is the most egregious example. And the cost of these legislators is more than $1 million per legislator. So if in Ohio or Illinois, they have a smaller state house in particular, I really don't think there are many people in those states that say, you know, we'd be a lot better off if we just hired more people to go to the state capitol and talk about this. I don't get that.
So how long have you been on the quest to shrink Pennsylvania state government? I know you wrote about it recently in the Post-Gazette at the end of January, but this is not the first time.
No, I wrote about it the first time. I looked this up in 1994, and it didn't get much traction, obviously. But then in 2005, when they made the unconstitutional midnight pay grab to give themselves a raise midterm, which was illegal, I really went after this full bore, and it has picked up support, and now for the first time, it has passed both houses of the legislature. The way this works is it's a constitutional amendment, so they would have to do this again in the next session, which begins in 2017. Each house would again have to vote to reduce the size of the house to 151 from 203. And then it would go to the voters, and I think it would pass overwhelmingly.
Now, you've written in your column, you point out that many districts may now have been made impenetrable by the opposing party.
Right.
So how does having less legislators help that solve that problem?
Well, that is a very good question, and that is sort of independent of shrinking the legislature. What also needs to happen, and there is a bill by a woman named Senator Buscola of Elizabeth, I believe, a Democrat from Elizabeth. No, excuse me, not Elizabeth, Bethlehem. To turn the redistricting process over to a citizens commission rather than it be done by the caucus leaders. Right now it's done by the caucus leaders, and as I mentioned in that column you're referring to, they draw the line so that to protect the incumbents and sometimes to punish people in their own party who have defied them. So they gerrymander them right out of a job.
Right. So if if downsizing is even more critical in your view, how do you take redistricting, which would be part of this, how do you take that out of the hands of the party leaders so that no matter how many legislators you have, you're still going to have a system that many would view as rigged?
That's true. There are two independent, these don't have to be independent pieces of legislation. Senator Buscola would like an amendment to this bill that would shrink the House so that a citizens commission would do the redistricting. I do think, though, it's a poor argument for keeping the status quo if the threat is we could be even worse if we're smaller. I mean, if that's the only argument for keeping them as America's largest full-time state legislature, that's a pretty weak argument in my view.
But will we have less legislative gridlock if we have less people? I mean,
I don't see how we could have any more.
I guess I'm just, if I do the math, you know, you look at this with less people in the legislature, doesn't that lead to maybe less divergence of opinion, which...
I don't think that's necessarily so. I mean, you would take, instead of dividing the state of Pennsylvania into 203 districts, you would divide them into 151 districts. So each district would be about a third again larger. But, you know, right now that state house in particular is like high school. There's all these cliques. They don't get a lot done. They're all screaming at each other. And there have been several legislative leaders over the years, as they head out the door, say that, yeah, the size of the place makes it difficult to get anything done.
Well, based on what's going on there now, it's hard to argue with your premise. We're talking with Brian O'Neill, Post-Gazette columnist, who's proposing that the legislature should be downsized, and he's written columns talking about exactly how to do just that. You point to Ohio as the example of a legislature which does more work effectively with less legislators than Pennsylvania does. What's happening in Ohio? What can you point to that's happening there that shows that you can have a more efficient legislature with less people in it?
I don't, you know, read the Ohio papers every day. I can't answer that question authoritatively. I do know what is happening in Pennsylvania, or more to the point, what is not happening in Pennsylvania, which is getting a budget passed. And this is not the first time. I do know that we have more staff, more legislators, and we spend more money on our just the business of having a legislature than just about anyone else. You know, states like New York, Texas, they have 150 people in the House. California has 80. Florida has 120. There's no place like Pennsylvania with 203. And the reason we have so many is that in the 19th century, the reformers thought that if we have so many people, that the Pennsylvania Railroad and the oil interests couldn't possibly bribe everyone. I don't think that worked out all that well. Right now, they're still the lobbyists are still pretty strong in Harrisburg.
So as part of this, could you take the hundreds of millions of dollars that you would save by reducing the legislature and channel that money elsewhere, like maybe to help pay for something in the budget that legislators are currently arguing about funding?
I mean, the money would not just go away. This is money that you would not have to spend on pensions, salary, staff, travel, offices. And that money would be saved. So you could either not raise taxes as much as they're going to be raised, which is going to happen soon, or, you know, just put the money somewhere else. Yeah, you would be saving money.
What kind of reaction have you had to this from your readers?
I hear almost universal support for this idea. I don't hear from a lot of people who are against it. When I do, and they say things that, you know, academically would seem so, that it would be more difficult for an outsider to come in, I don't think that's true. I mean, the districts are going to be one-third larger. That is not insurmountable. That is the degree of difficulty is not a lot higher.
So those who are arguing against this are saying that if an outsider comes into a district, they are not going to be as effective as somebody from the inside.
Well, it'd be harder to get elected because the district is bigger, is the argument, because you have to cover more ground when you're door knocking and so on. But I don't think that's a significant difference to open up the district by a third, make it a third larger, a third more people. You can still get elected from the outside that way.
So is that the hope then for a more effective, more expedient government in Pennsylvania?
Yeah. I mean, more effective, less expensive. And what's remarkable about this is when you see, like, the fellow who's behind this legislation, a guy named Jerry Knowles, who lives out in the eastern part of the state, kind of under the N in Pennsylvania, between Reading and Wilkes-Barre. He points out that when this setup of 203 came about, they originally had thought they were going to have 201, but there was a typo, and they just went ahead and had 203. So 151 House members, I think, would be plenty.
We've been talking with Post-Gazette columnist Brian O'Neill, who is on a quest to reduce the Commonwealth's legislative body. He's been writing about it in his columns, and apparently there's some support for the idea. Brian O'Neill, thank you so much for joining us on Essential Pittsburgh. We appreciate it.
Always good to be here. Thank you very much.
More Essential Pittsburgh coming up. This is 90.5 WESA.